Amen and amen and amen. You know, in the world today, you hear people talking about this generation and that generation, and people are categorized by the generation in which they happen to have been born in. In the Bible, there's different generations. Now, I want to talk about a generation today called the Joshua generation. Now, I like the Joshua generation because that's the generation that chose to believe God. You know, in the natural, of course, we're in a generation by our birth, but spiritually, you can choose to be in a different generation. You know, you can choose to be a part of the generation that died in the wilderness, or you can choose to be a part of the generation called the Joshua generation that went in and took the promised land. It's really up to you. Come on now. Don't look at me like that. Hey, what you got to remember is, even though that older generation never got to the promised land, God didn't throw them out. They were still God's children. You know, there's a lot of people living today that's not in the Joshua generation that are born again and not getting all the promises. See, our promised land is all the promises of God in the Word of God. You know, now the Joshua generation had certain characteristics. They believed what God said instead of anything else. And they were not afraid of the giants. Now, you know, I got a sermon I preach called Giants Are Grapes, you know. The grapes is the promises of God. The giants are the obstacles and all the other things that we come in contact with. They had courage to go against all odds and possess the promised land. Now, God told Joshua two things to do personally that enabled him to have the spirit of faith. First of all, you find it in Joshua 1:8, okay? Joshua 1:8 is where you find it. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Now, I want you to notice that he gave him part of the instruction was to meditate in the Word of God. Stay with the Word. And then he instructed him three different times. He instructed him, be strong and of good courage. In Joshua 1:6, 1:7, and 1:9, and in 18. Now, why do we emphasize so much? Why was that emphasized to him so much? Three times. It was one time, the people told him. Well, three times the Lord, and the last time it was the people that told him. Now, he needed this so that he would be strong enough to lead the people. He could resist fear. See, if you're going to be in the Joshua generation, you got to resist the fear. When the giants come up, and when I'm referring to giants, I'm talking about your problems, your circumstances, your situations, all the things that come against you. When they come up, you got to resist fear. Hello. Yeah, you know. So, you know, I could ask you this question and you'd have to answer it, but I'm going to ask it, but you're going to have to answer it to yourself. We don't want to embarrass anybody. But what generation are you a part of? Spiritually, I'm talking about. Hello. You know, are you a part of the generation that sits around and says, well, I would go, but let me tell you all the reasons why I can't do it? Or are you part of the generation that says, I don't understand how it's possible, but God said it, I believe it, I'm doing it. Hello. So, you know, God may tell you to possess his promises even when it looks impossible. He will tell you possess the promises of God when it looks impossible. You know, that the time had come for them to cross over into the promised land. In Joshua 1:10, It says, then Joshua commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp and command the people. Command. That's not a suggestion. That's not do it if you want to. A command means it's done. How many military people I had in here served in the military or in it now? If there is a command given, there is no question about it. You don't say, well, do I really want to do that or not? It don't make no difference whether you want to do it or not. You better do it. Because the consequences for not obeying the command, if you're in a battle situation, it can mean life or death. That's why you're trained in the military to immediately respond to a command because of the importance of not questioning. You know what? We need to train ourselves the same way with the commands that God gives us in this Word of God. Not question it, just immediately respond to it. Anybody get what I'm talking about? See, they went through the camp. It was time for them to get up and get ready to do what God told them to do. You know, possessing the promises of God just doesn't happen by you sitting on the couch wishing. Actually, nothing in your life happens if you just sit on the couch. Oh, I sure would like to do that. I sure wish this would happen. I sure wish that would happen. Nothing's going to happen until you get up and do something. It's the same way with the Word of God. The promises of God are there for you, but you're going to have to get up and make them become a reality in your life. Come on now. You know. In 11, he says, within 3 days, you'll cross over the Jordan to go possess the land that the Lord your God has given you. Now, spiritually, this Joshua generation had to learn to believe and follow God's instructions. And sometimes the instructions are contrary to what we see in the natural. But he said, in Luke, it said, whatever is impossible with man, I'm paraphrasing it, whatever is impossible with man might be possible with God. What did it say? Oh, is possible with God. All right, I knew what it said. I just wanted to see if you did. Okay. Now, relationally, this Joshua generation had to get used to following a new leader. Remember, Moses was the leader. And now Joshua took over. If you'll read the story, you'll find out that God came to Joshua and said, all right, now, Moses is gone. Get up and get ready to take this people across the land into the promised land. He didn't even give him time to have a party to say, oh, well, we gotta remember. It's all right to remember. But God said, hey, the old is gone and the new is involved. That's what you need to realize. The old is gone and the new is in front of you. Go get it. That will be the way that we had talked. That's what God was saying to Joshua. Hey, the old is gone. The old generation has passed away. Moses is gone. The old is gone. Now, hey, you, the Joshua generation, jump up and go and possess the land. Now, situationally, the Joshua generation was facing the Jordan River at flood stage. You know, I was just there a year ago this past June. And in fact, Amy was leading the choir. Joe was with us there. And we stood there at the Jordan River and close to Jericho. And our guide was telling us that they think maybe this is close to the place to where they actually crossed it. And he showed us at that time, you know, how wide the water would have been and everything. You remember that, Joe? Remember when he told us that? Now, there's something else there I want to get to. Joshua 3, 14 and 16. So it was when the people set out from their camp to cross the Jordan, the priests bearing the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and those who bore the ark came to the Jordan. The feet of the priests who bore the ark dipped into the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflowed its bank during that time of harvest. Now, that the waters which came down from upstream stood still and rose in a heap very far away to Adam, the city that is beside the Zaratan. So the waters that came, that went down to the sea of Abar, the salt sea, failed and were cut off, and the people crossed over Jordan over opposite Jericho. Now, see, the Jordan is flowing down. And sometimes when they talk, when you see, talk about the water parting, the water didn't part. The water was just backed up on the flow down side, and it flowed away. Now, here's something. Did you notice it said there, as far away as Adam? When we were standing at that very spot where they said they crossed, and also is the very spot that they think that he said they think that Jesus was baptized. Our guide happened to be a Messianic Jew as well as, we got the spiritual side and the natural side. And he said right up there a little ways is a place called Adam's Bridge. What does this say? Heaped up at Adam. Now, there's two significance here that I want you to realize. There's where Jesus, they said, was baptized. You have first man Adam, second man Adam. I mean, I get into there. But here it is. And so it seemed like that it was impossible to cross there. But God worked it out. See, faith in God will change the bad situation to a good situation. You know, some people get the idea, well, if it's easy, it's oh, God can do it. If it's hard, he can't do it. No, it doesn't matter whether it's hard, easy, or in the middle. God can do any of it. You know, sometimes we get a little dismayed when negative things come. And that's when we should just hold our faith. It's the same in the positive as well as in the negative. The Word of God is the same all the time. The Bible, it never changes. See, now, I want you to notice that he told them to get prepared to cross over into the promised land. That Joshua generation. In the natural, what's he telling them? Hey, pack up your stuff. Get everything ready. You know, how many of you ever gone on a trip? You know, you're planning to go on a vacation. Did you wait to 30 minutes before you left to start packing and getting ready? No. You started making plans and getting everything ready in advance. That's what he gave them. Hey, he told them, he said, okay, you got 3 days. That's all you got to get ready to go. If you don't have it already in 3 days, you better just get up and leave what's there, because we the rest of them going. Come on. See, in the natural there, God told them to get packed up and get ready. See, in 11 it says, pass through the camp, command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourself, for within 3 days you'll cross over the Jordan to go to possess the land which the Lord your God is giving you. So in the natural, he's telling them, hey, prepare to move out. Now, I don't know what they do in the army today. When I was in, I did in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, I did my basic there in 1962. And we were going out for a week of what they call bivouac. And we had to pack up our packs, and we had to put in some K rations and all this stuff that, you know, that you have. How many of you know what? How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Ever been there, done it? Hey, they told us ahead of time what to do and what we're supposed to do. If you wasn't ready when you got out there, if you didn't bring any stuff with you or enough, it was your problem, because ain't nobody going to share it with you because they hungry and they eating theirs. How many know what I mean? See, he's telling them, hey, look, y'all are going over. Get yourself ready. Yes. Now, spiritually, they had to sanctify themselves. They had to dedicate themselves, consecrate themselves to the plan of God, to the will of God. He said, sanctify yourself, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. See, spiritually, they had to sanctify themselves. The Joshua generation obeyed the instructions. They dedicated themselves to God. Okay, God, we'll follow you. Whatever you say, that's what we're going to do. We're consecrated to you. We are going to do what you said, tell us to do. We're going to possess the land. Hello. We're going to live right. Sanctify means cleanse and remove the things out of your life that would hinder you from possessing the promised land. Get rid of your doubt. Get rid of your unbelief. Get rid of, well, God can, but I don't know. No, if God can, there's no such thing as I don't know. It all comes back to our promised land. What does the Bible say? That's our promised land. See, what you got to realize is that our spiritual life here on earth is the same as the children of Israel taking the promised land. You know, a lot of years ago, when I was a kid, some of them used to sing about going crossing over to Jordan. In fact, I was listening to some song the other day, and, you know, I listened to that in Latin, and they play a lot of the old stuff, and it's something about crossing over Jordan, you know, like that was the ultimate. No. There's not going to be no battle to fight in heaven. So ain't no way that the promised land is a type of heaven. It is a type of our spiritual life down here. We cross over from death to life. Hello. And then we have to possess the land. Glory to God. See, I'm talking about being a part of a generation that rises up and believes the promises of God and takes what belongs to you no matter what anybody else says. Hello. Well, now let me tell you what I think about. Who cares what you think? What the Bible say? You ever heard anybody say, well, now let me tell you what I think God was talking about here. Anybody ever heard anybody say that? Let me see your hand if you have. Well, since when does he need us to help him interpret what he said? Hello. He said what he meant what he said. You know, if I'm, you know, as the head of Kenneth Hagin Ministries, the president of the school and so forth, I tell somebody to do something, hey, they don't have to sit around and wonder. I mean, I told them to do it. They don't figure out what I'm trying to say. See? He said, within 3 days, you'll cross over Jordan. Now, they could have sat around and had a discussion. Well, now, is this really what God means? Now, what does he really mean about, what does that really mean? I remember one time a guy came to Dad and was asking him, he was reading a scripture to him, and he said, now, Brother Hagin, what does that actually mean? And I never will forget it. The guy looked so puzzled when Dad said it. But Dad said, it means exactly what God said. Oh. Isn't it funny, you know, how people, see, they sat around and discussed. Now, did God really mean that or did he not? And then, you know, they could have reasoned among themselves. Now, wait a minute. Is this really feasible for us to do this? Don't look at me like that. That's what people do. And they could have got in a party mode and began to clap one another on the back and congratulate. Boy, man, aren't we something? God talked to us, congratulating one another because of God talking to them. I mean, there's all kinds of things. No, they didn't do any of those. That Joshua generation didn't do any of that. They got up, took their place in obedience to God, recognized that Joshua is the leader and God is speaking. All right, here we go. Come on. Now, you see, I want you to notice that he said in 3 days we going. To me, that indicates that there is with God, there's time periods of things. God told them to possess the promised land a long time ago. But now he's saying to go in there. 3 days, you're going with the new bunch. The old bunch wouldn't do it. So now he said, okay, you got 3 days and you're going in. See, timing is important. Timing is as important as what the word says. You can miss the possessing and reaping the promises by not moving when he told you to move. I don't know what would have happened if they hadn't moved in 3 days. I know Joshua was going. If the rest of them didn't go, all right. Hello? Now, Proverbs 10:4-5 says, who has a slack hand becomes poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. Who gathers in the summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son that causes shame. In other words, he don't do nothing. You know, Dad pastored at Farmsville Church when I was born, and then he went back and pastored when my sis was there born. And I got to know all those people. We knew them. And I'm about 15. And one of the men in the church, he had a big old farm up there, and they raised cotton. Well, there's a bunch of us. Well, another pastor's son and me and his son, we're all about the same age, and a couple more guys. And we're, you know, it's hot. There's no air conditioning. We're sleeping out on the front porch of the farmhouse. And we're supposed to be asleep. And he kept telling us, and the man, he woke us up early, man. And we got out there, and he put us on down this row. And, you know, he put all five of us out. We're going down a row. We got a picket. Well, I said to Aubrey, his son, I said, look, man, when we get to the end of the row, look at that shade down there. That's down there by the creek. I said, by the time we get there, we ought to have enough cotton in our sack to make us a pretty good bed. And so we picked down to the end, and we all got up under them shade trees by the creek, laid down on our cotton sacks, and went to sleep. He come back out there. Ooh, Brother Paul was a little upset at us boys, because we should have picked several rolls of cotton by now, and we picked one roll. We missed our opportunity to get a paycheck too. But what am I saying? I'm saying that if you sleep and you're not being diligent with the word of God, you're going to mess up. You know, we need to realize that problems and obstacles are going to exist. We're going to have every opportunity to not do what we need to do. You see, look at Ecclesiastes 11:4. He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards the clouds will not reap. Now that's New King James. The NIV said, whoever watches the wind will not plant, and whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. And the Message says, don't sit there watching the wind. Do your own work. Don't stare at the clouds. Get on with your life. See, there's a lot of people, they're so hooked up on rejoicing that they're not getting on with possessing what belongs to them. How many understand that statement? You understand what I'm saying to you? You know, see, most of y'all see Rhema today. You didn't see Rhema back when Dad first started teaching faith. Everybody was against him. My wife will tell you, she was a preacher's kid. The preachers was against him. His denomination was against him. It didn't make no difference. He kept believing what God told him to do. He kept doing it. And he affected a generation. Hello? See, you can't wait until the circumstances is right. You can't wait until everything looks good. You have to decide to believe God, whether it's in the good times or in the bad times. You believe God all the time. Good or bad, doesn't make any difference. Believe God. What did God say? Look at this situation again. It was flood time. It wasn't a time to cross that river. I mean, anybody with good sense knows that you don't cross a river in flood stage. Now, I want you to notice something here. The water didn't roll back until the power of God got in the water. What do you mean, the power of God? The Ark of the Covenant that was on the shoulders of those priests, that's where the power of God resided. And it wasn't until those priests waded into that water that the power of God stood it up. Sometimes it'll be when you take the word of God and start wading into your situation, there's when God will start to work. Don't sit around and wait for him to work. Claim the promises of God and start walking toward victory. Walk through the situation. Come on now. You know, when you're playing sports and the guy over on the other side of you, he's going to stop you. I'm looking at him and I'm saying to myself, I'm going through you. I don't care. I don't care what. You can't stop me. That's what we got to do with the enemy. When he comes against us, we got to take the word of God and go hit him straight on. Hit him straight ahead. Push him back. Anybody getting anything out of this? See, God, if you'll be a part of the Joshua generation, God will do for you exactly what he did for that generation. He gave them the promised land. Now, naturally, they had to do a lot of things. I mean, when they cross there, they come up against Jericho, the most fortified city around. That's an obstacle, isn't it? And then God told them to do the most ridiculous thing you ever heard in your life. March around the city one time a day. And then on the seventh day, march around it seven times. And he told them, be quiet. On the seventh day, scream, holler, yell, blow the trumpets, beat on the drum, do everything. And the walls will fall down. Now, who ever heard of conquering a city that away? I'm sure the old military guys was having a fit. This is not the way you conquer a city. But that Joshua generation said, if God said it, that's what we're going to do. If God said it, that's what we're going to do. So they started walking. With their mouth shut. They didn't walk around, woo, hallelujah, you're going to bring the walls down, glory, glory. No. They walked around it. Went back to the camp. Now on the seventh day, on the seventh time, what a shout. and the wall come down. When you do it God's way, it works. When you do it your way, it's a mess. See, these people were up against odds that said it can't be done. But it was. They did. Why? Because they chose to have a spirit of faith and believe God. In fact, God said of Caleb, he and Joshua, the only two of the old generation that went in, and he said of Caleb, he said, he is a man of another faith. Because of his faith, he's going in. Hey, God is ready to move in your life. I challenge you to come on over and be a part of the Joshua generation. Rise up and possess your inheritance, no matter what the circumstances are, no matter what you're facing. God said it. I believe it. That settles it. Go get it. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody get anything out of this today? Glory, 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 glory. Hallelujah. Bow your heads for just a moment. Now, I would like for you to realize that there is no way to be a part of the Joshua generation without you first accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you're in this place today and you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, I want you to do that before you leave here today. If you're in this place and you know what it is to accept Christ, but you know you're not where you're supposed to be and you didn't need to rededicate your life. Anybody on any one of those two invitations, I want to pray with you and I want to pray for you. Let me see your hand right now, upstairs, downstairs, anywhere in the room. You need Christ. You need to rededicate your life to God. And you know it. There's a hand over here. Thank you. I see that hand. Are there others? There's another one over here. Thank you. Thank you. I see that hand. You can put it down. Are there others that would raise their hand? Here's a hand over here. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Would everybody stand, please? I said I wanted to pray with you and for you. I'm going right down front. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, I want you to step out from where you're at, come down here. I want to shake hands with you, and I want to pray with you. Come on right now. Come on right now. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, come on. Come on. Come on, all of you. There's others that need to come, so come on. God bless you. Right here. Bless you, man. Stand right here. We'll wait for the rest of them to get here. God bless you. Come on. If you didn't raise your hand, you want to come, or you should have raised your hand. Come on. Come on right now. Come on right now. Bless you, man. Praise God. Come on. This is your time. This is your hour. Come on. Change your life forever. If you're upstairs, they'll help you get down the stairs and get down here. I'm looking for somebody else. Somebody else needs to come. I'm going to wait a minute. Come on. Somebody else needs to come. Somebody that knows what it is to serve God, but you're just not where you're supposed to be. Come on. God is speaking right now. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. God bless you, buddy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, man. Come on, man. God bless you, man. Bless you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. Hey, guys. I got three books in my hand. One called New Birth. One called In Him. The other talks about the Holy Spirit. Now, if I said I'm going to give these to you and I put them out here like this, what do you got to do to get them? They're yours. You got them. You can have them. Hey, all y'all going to get them same books in just a minute. That's just an example I do. I can give you a book, But I can't give you the spiritual experience you came down here for. It comes from heaven on high. Just as he reached out and grabbed those, I want you to reach one hand, I don't care which one, toward heaven, and you're saying, all right, God, I'm reaching up by faith to receive what I came down here for. Just go ahead, raise your hand right now. You're in the congregation, reach your hands toward these people. Oh, here comes somebody else right now. Come on, man. Come on, man. God bless you, buddy. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Just raise your hand there. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I thank you for every one of these that's come today. I thank you that every spiritual need in their life will be met today. Salvation, rededication, no-so experience. Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus. Every spiritual need will be met today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Put your hand down and look at me for just a moment. I told you I was going to give you those books. And you're going to go with him to a place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually and in depth. Make sure you get what you came for. Okay? You'll get those books. That same place is called a prayer room this morning, but every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock it becomes a classroom called Turning Point. And you say, what in the world's that? Well, it's just a class that meets for a few times to help you get your life turned on to God or back on to God, okay? And I'd like to see you in that class next Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. Would you turn right there and see Greg and just follow him to that place where you can get the books and be prayed with? Just go right there. Follow him right there. Praise God. Give him a hand as they go. Glory to God. Glory to God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Hallelujah. That's what it's all about right there. Hallelujah. See, they're stepping over into the Joshua generation now. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Hey, don't forget all the announcements, man. That bulletin's full of them, and then you heard those there. Hey, we need the people to sign up for the Kindle the Flame. Hey, connection team, go find our first-time guest and take them to our connection room to get that special gift that we have for them. We have a special gift for them. So go find them right now. Nobody else move unless you have to. Glory to God. We're so glad to have you. Like we said, if you're looking for a church home, what we say, church? Welcome home. Just come on. Be a part of us. We're having a great time with God. Amen and amen and amen. Hey, pray for the Crusade team, myself and Lynette, and the Crusade team, half of them's already there. They left the bus, went out pulling the trailer and equipment. We'll fly out as soon as I go grab a bite to eat. We'll fly out to Huntington, West Virginia, Brother Pastor Daryl Huffman, and we're going to be there Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. If anybody, you know, any of your friends in that area, tell them, hey, to come on out. All right? But pray for us, pray for the Crusade. Hey, don't forget to pray for all of our Rhema people down there in Florida. Amen. Hey, they're going to sing a chorus. Give me a chance. I'm going to barrel down that aisle right there to the front door up there. Hey, if you want to see any of there's where everybody's at. It's on the screen. Hey, tonight, 6 o'clock, you be here, okay? And I'll be in West Virginia preaching tonight, but they'll be here preaching to you. You don't stay away. Come on out. All right. God bless you. We love you. We'll see you next Sunday morning right here. God bless.